You're listening to episode 2 of the Miscast. We're doing another one?
Hi, I'm Johnny Dollar.
And I'm Jonathan Crummett.
And we're your host today for the wide world of MISCON. So the first thing we should probably talk about is the episode title, We're Doing Another One, which came from us at the MISCON Game Day, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit, talking to some people who've been around since MISCON 1. And I guess we didn't really have themes before Cthulhu Bob took over. So we were trying to find a theme for the first one. There wasn't one. So I said, well, what do people say about MISCON 2? And Joe Taylor said, mostly, so, you're doing another one? Which fits us very well.
Exactly. MISCON 2 was in 1987. One of the big guests of honors, though I guess I've heard that he's been one of the big guests of honors multiple times, was Steve Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Of Steve Jackson Games. Some movies that came out in 1987, because I like to mention the movies of the year. Big one, Robocop.
Robocop. I actually, my buddies and I, we watched Robocop 1, 3, and 2 this last week. Like, not even thinking about we're going to talk about it today, but Robocop 1 is an excellent, excellent movie. Justin Barb and I were bonding over that the other night. But I love how just crazy over the top that movie is. And just how weird and family-friendly it sort of became in the later sequels.
I remember the scene where he shoots the person through the woman's dress.
Yeah.
Was, you know, that was playground lore when I was growing up. Another one in 1987, probably my favorite on the 1987 list, was Running Man.
Oh, nice.
I would love for a remake of Running Man. There's a lot of people out there rolling their eyes like, no, they don't need to do Running Man again or something like that. Well, I think they do.
It's pretty solid. Did you ever read the book it was based on?
I have not read the book that
it was based Stephen on. King wrote it, actually. It's okay. It's one of his Bachman books, which I don't care for as much, but it's way different than the movie. Of course, I mean, if you're going to make a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll have to look for it. So, a couple weeks ago, we had our summer game day.
Yeah, that was a great time. What a great turnout, too.
And who won our contest then?
Andy Mocco. It's a funny story there, because I show up early to get things set up for the game day. Cthulhu Bob and Joe Taylor and Admiral Stewart were there, and we're getting things set up, and I get a call from Jonathan here. He's like, hey man, could you give me a ride?
You can't say me, you have to say from Jonathan here.
Oh yeah, did I just point at you?
From you or whatever, anyway.
Well, from you then. I got a call from Jonathan to come give him a ride. So I hopped in the 88 Eagle Premier, and as I was pulling out of the parking lot of the University of Montana, who walks by but Andy Mocco. He goes, hey Johnny Dollar, tell us the answer, which, for those of you that didn't know, it's from Short Circuit, and Saint Number 5 stands for?
I don't remember.
It's all right, but Andy knew. So Andy won our dice. The guy probably doesn't need any more dice, but thank you for listening, Andy. And we've got some more contests, and you can still win those ones, too.
And also, you were telling me at the MISCON Daily Game Day another little story about Red Eye Knight and Short Circuit.
Yeah, as soon as we put the first episode, the first official episode of MISCast on, excluding our pilot episode, with a contest, I immediately get messaged over Facebook by Red Eye Knight, who just has the answer. That guy knows a lot about Short Circuit. That guy has schematics and things that he has worked on, and I'm probably not giving him due credit for that. Which reminds me, I actually have a retraction from something that we said in our pilot episode. I misquoted Red Eye Knight, and I'm misquoting him right now, too. But one, dude loves Short Circuit. Two, the actual quote that I didn't get a chance to finish was, he loves conventions, he loves MISCON, it's like a family reunion, but with less fist fighting. And if I mess it up, Red Eye, I'm really sorry. We can talk about it this weekend when I see it spoke on.
At the MISCON Game Day, we also interviewed Sandbagger Game Club president and Four Winds Fantasy Gaming co-publisher, Robert Thompson.
Yeah, Robert's a great guy. I love the Sandbaggers, love the Four Winds stuff, and he was nice enough to sit down and have an interview with us, which we're going to have little segments of for you here in a couple of minutes. And then it's going to be a great contest for some of his books, too. And then we're also going to have the full interview on the website, which, when you're clicking on the link here, it should be the next one beneath it, unless we change the formatting.
Right. So, that interview will be coming up in a little bit. So, at the game day, did you play anything that jumped out for you?
I played a lot of games, like more games I have in previous game days. It's just like I went from game to game to game, ate a sandwich, game to game, another sandwich, and then went with some people that I met playing the Game of Thrones board game. To watch episodes of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place at my friend Spencer's house. Did you play anything interesting?
I got in that I haven't played in a while, and I really was glad to play it again. It's a roll and move game, you know, rolling the dice and moving, but it's the best roll and move game there is out there. It's called Formula D.
Okay.
It's a racing game, so there's a bunch of different tracks. We played the Singapore track, My car didn't make it through the race. I was getting kind of far behind, and I thought, you know, I have one chance to kind of to catch up. So I shoved it up a gear. The different gears are like represented by different dice. So first gear is like a D4, second gear is a D6 or whatever, and they're numbered kind of differently. Anyway, so I shot it up to, I think, fifth gear, which is a D20. And it was going so fast I couldn't make it through the turn and, you know, jumped off the track and totaled my car.
Awesome.
Lost that.
I got to play a full game. By full, I mean all six characters in Betrayal at the House on the Hill. Which is one of my favorite board games of all time. We had a full crew. The traitor, I wish I could remember, it was a 12-year-old kid who was playing with us, who loved the game too, and he had played it a long time, so he knew the rules better than I did, but he was the traitor. And it took the other five of us, like, working together to outsmart this 12-year-old, and we barely won. So props to that kid. He is really smart.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is one of the earlier board games that I owned when I started really getting into board games, and when the first time we played it, it was the perfect ending. I can't remember off the top of the head what the scenario was, but at the end of the game, we had one hero left that made it out alive, you know, and then won it for the heroes. Everybody else is dead, and we were like, that's how it should end, if you're going to win.
Yeah. It's a good one. I love Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
It is. Well, so should we go ahead and get to our interview with Robert Thompson?
I think so. We should step into this TARDIS that we have here and travel back in time 2 weeks of the MISCON game day.
And keep in mind, at the end of this podcast, we're going to be giving away some books from Four Winds Fantasy Gaming that were donated by Robert Thompson.
So thanks again, Robert, and we'll talk to you here again in the past. Here we are, live at the University of Montana, the MISCON game day. We have a very special guest with us here in the booth. We have Robert Thompson, president of the Sandbagger Game Club and co-owner and publisher of Four Winds Fantasy Games. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for coming here. So, first question out, you know, with Four Winds Fantasy, how did you get into publishing role-playing games?
It was really when Paizo announced their Pathfinder compatibility license in 2009 for the Pathfinder role-playing game. And my wife and I basically looked at one another and said, we either need to do this or quit talking about it. And so we decided to roll the dice. We had a little bit of cash saved up and did some research, did some market research, did some research on some other things, and we went from there. And we've been going pretty strong ever since.
How long has it been around? Did you already say that?
We started in March 2009.
Okay.
That was when we founded the company. Our first PDF product was released in May of 2009. And our first print book was released in August of 2009.
How do I want to ask this? How widespread are your games?
Until this year, we had relatively small distribution. Our only distributor was Indie Press Revolution, who doesn't have a huge distribution network, but they did provide us some markets all across North America, and even overseas as well. We had some sales that went through IPR to England, to France. So we did have a small presence. And also our products were available, and still are, through Paizo's own web store as well. So we had...
I see them on there on Paizo.
Yeah, yeah.
I know those guys.
We
know one in particular, but...
Well, yeah. But that's what a lot of people have done until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently, we partnered with Studio 2 Publishing, which is a much larger outfit. They're, in addition to being a publisher in their own right, they are a fulfillment house, which provides books for not only their own books, but for a lot of other small publishers to large distribution outfits like Alliance. I don't know if you're familiar with any of the game distributors out there, but Alliance is like the biggest one out there. So they provide our books to them because we can't get into the Alliance on our own. We're too small.
Mm-hmm.
But through somebody like Studio 2 Publishing, we can. And that's just started. And our books have finally gone out, and they're going out to a huge audience. I mean, when we got our first order for books through Studio 2 with their network, their order for the Book of Arcane Magic, which was the first book we actually released in August of 2009, was greater than the total number of print copies of the Book of Arcane Magic we had sold to that date.
Wow.
So when we saw those numbers, we were a little flabbergasted. So we've got a bigger network out there, and we're going to be available to a lot more people now.
That's really good.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So a question I think we're going to be asking about everyone that's going to come in, because you are our first interview. What got you into gaming?
My dad. And I don't remember exactly what month. It was late 1977. And it was several months after the first Star Wars had come out. And Dad had taken me to see Star Wars. And so I was at the beginning of a little geek already. And Dad was a war gamer. But at 7 years old, I wasn't much into war games myself. And he had bought the old Blue Box D&D set, the old basic set. He thought it was a war game. He had just saw it in his hobby shop.
Little did he know.
It looked like a war game. He didn't really read the back of the box too closely. He thought, that looks good. Grabbed it. Got home. It wasn't really what he wanted. And so he gave it to me. And that created a monster. So that's how I got into role-playing at that point. I recruited some buddies in school, and we started gaming. And I've been gaming strong ever since then, playing as many different role-playing games as I possibly could. So
going back to the Four Winds Fantasy Gaming, so we might have people listening that's like, I haven't heard of this before, mm-hmm. or whatever. Is there a particular title that comes to mind that you think you would serve as an introductory to your guys' product?
You know, I what I would recommend is probably Leuven Lightfinger's Gear and Treasure Shop. That's our best-selling product, and it's just a good little grab. It's Pathfinder compatible product, but it could be very easily used with 3.5 D&D, and with some work you could work on in some stuff for several other game systems as well. It's basically just an equipment book, mm-hmm. is what it is, and it's been our best reviewed book that we have out there. It's gotten rave reviews from a number of locations, and again, it's also been our best seller for us. So if anybody wants to grab one and not only have a good book that they can add to their game, but also just get an idea of the kind of stuff that we do publish, that's one I would recommend, Leuven Lightfinger's Gear and Treasure Shop. So and it's a fun little read, too, because we've got a little narrative that goes through there. And
I like the title as well, of it.
So.
Right?
Thanks. Thanks. So it's a fun little book. It really is. So that's the one I would recommend, definitely.
My next question would be, is there anything exciting that you're working on right now that you could tell us about?
We've got two print books that are just coming out right now. The PDFs have been out for a while. One is called Tome of Monsters, which is what it pretty much sounds like. It's a collection of new monsters. Again, another Pathfinder compatible book. And then also Incantations. That's Incantations with a K, I-N-K-A, which is about tattoo magic. And it's also Pathfinder compatible. And that one's been very well received as well. The PDFs have been, like I said, have been out for a while, but the print books are finally coming out right now. IPR just got their shipment of them and has them available. And Tome of Monsters has been sent out through the distributors to retailers, but Incantations will be shortly. And Studio 2 has told me they will have those at their booth at Gen Con. So those will be there. So those are coming out right now.
As a reminder, too, to our listeners, we are going to be giving away later in the podcast some great books from 4-1 Fantasy Games, so stay tuned. Not that there's really a tuning knob, but stay tuned, because we're going to be giving some of those away here at the end.
Exactly.
So switching gears a little bit, let's talk about the Sandbaggers a little
bit.
Okay, excellent. What are the Sandbaggers? We'll start out there for people not informed.
The Sandbaggers Game Club is a game club located in Great Falls, Montana. It's 22 years old now. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary a couple of years ago. So we are the longest continuously existing game club in the state of Montana. We're rather proud of that.
As you should be.
And we've got a nice little room that a lot of people have compared to a bomb shelter. those that have compared it to a bomb shelter seem to do so in a positive way. Stocked with games of all sorts, role-playing games, board games, card games, war games. We've got tables for minis, Warhammer, War Machine, and we're open usually 3 to 4 days a week. People can come in, and we've got regularly scheduled game role-playing games. We do go down there early on many days for board games and card games. So we're just about getting together, having fun, playing games on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you mentioned it being the longest running one. I don't know.
Here it comes.
If you remember it or not, but I used to work at the World Games of Montana game store here in town.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago, and we were kind of jealous, me and my partner Todd there, and so we launched the Spiel Nights Game Club as kind of like to combat.
Okay.
And how'd that work out for you?
Well, Todd moved away, and we stopped making T-shirts.
Uh-huh.
Story of Todd's life. Todd, if you're listening, we love you, buddy.
But anyway, but I guess in a way you can say we were kind of inspired by the sandbaggers too, you know, to try to formalize a little bit more here in Missoula
too. Glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that.
It's always great because, you know, wherever you go, there's always gamers anywhere you go.
Yep.
But it's great to have a place where you know that you can go and find cool people with similar interests and have some fun playing games.
Exactly. And that's what we want to provide. So, yeah.
That everybody knows your name.
Exactly. And it's like
Norm.
That. Yes. People walk in, Sam.
So you just took over the helm of the sandbaggers. How long ago?
Just a couple of weeks ago.
I was elected helm? President.
You get a nice little helm with a big feather in it as your symbol of office. Actually, I wish I would be wearing it now if I did. And I would describe it in great detail for everyone. No. I was elected president just a couple of weeks ago. We had our elections, and I took over as president at that point. I was honored when everyone elected me, when they thought I'd make a good president, and I hope I live up to it for them. So, yeah.
Now, do you have any great events coming up for the Sandbaggers?
We do. We've got our Sandbaggers Game Fair coming up in October. And for anyone listening that used to enjoy going to the Montana Game Fair down in Helena, that ended, 2 years ago now, I think it was it 2009 was the last
That's right.
one. A lot of people miss that, including us, the Sandbaggers, but a lot of people around Montana, a lot of us gamers around here, we missed that game fair. So we decided, let's try it ourselves and see what we can do. Last year we did a very, very small scale version of it, and there was enough popularity, enough people attended that we thought we're going to go bigger next year. So this year it's going to be Columbus Day weekend, which is the 7th and 8th of October, starting at about 5 p.m. on Friday the 7th. And then the main day is Saturday the 8th, running from about 11 in the morning until midnight or later if people want to stick around for that matter. And we're going to have all sorts of games available. Folks can check on our website, which is Sandbaggers Game Club, all one word, sandbaggersgameclub.org/sandbagger_game_fair, FAIRE.htm.
We'll have it up on the website too on miscon.org.
Excellent.
Gets closer.
Thank you. You can check the schedule there because we do have a few games scheduled and there'll be more going up as time goes on. And we're going to have a special guest. John Goff is going to be coming over. He is our special gaming guest of honor.
John's a great guy.
Yeah. I met him for the first time this year, and he is a fantastic guy. I like John a lot.
So I was really glad to get to know Robert Thompson there. He's a really interesting person. I think he's great for the great gaming community. I'm going to be glad to see him at future MizCons and MizCon Game Days and their event, which he discussed up in Great Falls in October.
Which will be great. I loved when the game fair was in Helena. Now it's in Great Falls. I'd love to have that time just to drive, you know, with friends, get together and play in their clubhouse there.
So, we have another event coming up this weekend, SpoCon.
We do. I'm actually, depending on when this is released, I'm either going to SpoCon at SpoCon or have just got back from SpoCon, depending on how it works out. But it's going to be great heading over there to see some really neat people, old friends of ours, good friends. So looking forward to it. I'm heading down there with Dr. Brown and my friend Nicholas Hyde, who's a con virgin. Nick has never been to a convention before. He's been to anime cons.
Wow.
Because he's a big old nerd, but he's never been
to a con. I find that surprising.
He worked at Muse Comics for 2 years, and it was always whenever MizCon came around. He was a guy that had to watch the store. So this will be his first time. I hope he doesn't hate it. I'm sure he will. It's going to be a great time at SpoCon.
All right, so we should go ahead and announce the contest for these books that
we have got this big stack of books here from Four Winds Fantasy. And again, thank you to everyone there involved with that. And special thanks to Robert Thompson, who donated to us for prize support here. So here's the contest. We're going to give a couple of sets of these books away. And it's all based on how creative our listeners are.
I'm going to jump in really quick and also mention that we will send these to anybody in the continental United States. So don't feel that if you're not in Missoula that you can't participate, because you can. We will send them to you.
Yeah. So one thing that you see so often, this was part of the inspiration for the contest, or here rather, is you go to conventions and you'll see that one guy is going to come up to you and just, let me tell you about my character. He's a half-drow, half-Asimir paladin of Pelor who has this wicked sweet sword that can do 2d20 damage on a crit. You get this a lot.
Six luck tattoos.
So here's what we want to do. We want you to tell us about your favorite character. However, because we don't want it to run on forever,
It has to be in the form of haiku.
And we're going to each pick our favorite one. We'll read them on the podcast next time, and we will send those two recipients some books from Four Winds Fantasy Gaming.
That's right. So go ahead and send those entries in the form of haiku, which I'm a stickler for, more than I probably should be, to
MizCast@MizCon.org.
MizCast@MizCon.org.
And that's going to wrap us up for this episode 2 of MizCast. Thanks again for listening. I'm Jonathan Crumman.
And I'm Johnny Dollar.
And we'll see you next time.